For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Strong back, soft front. So today our topic is strong back, soft front. And this is especially important in difficult and challenging times. I don't know about any of you, but I felt the last couple of weeks have been somewhat challenging and uncertain. And that's why my meditations, I felt very anxious, very restless, like, I don't know what's happening. And it makes it a lot harder to sit and meditate. At the retreat I recently attended, I not only had puppy dog mind, I think I had triple puppy dog mind. My mind was so busy. And I was ruminating and struggling to bring my attention back, and then starting to beat myself up because I wasn't being a good meditator, and realized that, okay, wait a minute, let's slow down, give yourself some self-compassion, put my hand on my heart saying, this retreat, and I've been to that retreat at least 10 times, if not more, isn't the way it normally is. It's not what you were kind of unconsciously expecting, but it is what it is, and you know, just do the best you can. And then the next session was on standing meditation, and boy was that a godsend for me, because I was able to, and I've practiced standing meditation, I've kind of learned it, but it never clicked into me until that retreat. So what Ajahn Suchito says is that if you want to get a break from a scattered mind and stressful moods, it could be as easy as literally standing on your own 2 feet. If you'd like to meditate, but you feel the idea of sitting still with nothing to do is a problem, then some standing might be the answer, a way to get started. When you're standing, the body automatically focuses on groundedness and balance. And your legs and feet come into alignment with your spine in a relaxed but alert way. And of course, that affects your mind. So we're talking about a strong back and a soft front. The meditation teacher Joan Halifax refers to the fierce stance that we had in standing meditation as having a strong back and a soft front. When we hold our backs tall without being shut down, defensive or rigid, we can take an action in a way that's most effective. And that's what we'd like to do. She says when we cultivate a strong back and a soft front within ourselves, we can weather the storms of life with strength, wisdom, grace, and an open heart. Many of us have a strong front to protect ourselves. I've always talked to you about that brick wall I put up in my front to protect me from being rejected or being hurt. And that strong front was all based on fear. Fear of rejection, fear of being hurt, fear of not being good enough. And my back was really weak. I had almost no boundaries. I was a people pleaser. So I would do anything for anyone, even if I didn't really want to. But to protect myself, I closed down. I closed down my heart. And I resisted life as it is by sweeping anything unpleasant under the carpet. And that's what helped create that brick wall, that really strong front. It felt like it was protection, but it actually cut me off from any potential friendships, and it didn't allow me the courage to be my true self. I gave other people the power to dictate how I felt, and keeping my brick wall intact took up a lot of energy. Joan Halifax says, all too often, our so-called strength comes from fear, not love. Instead of having a strong back, many of us have a defended front, shielding a weak spine. In other words, we walk around brittle and defensive, trying to conceal our lack of confidence. That describes me to a T. If we strengthen our backs, metaphorically speaking, we'll develop a spine that's flexible but sturdy. Then we can risk having a front that is soft and open. How can we give and accept care with a strong back, soft front, compassion, moving past fear to a place of tenderness? I believe it comes when we can be truly transparent, seeing the world clearly and letting the world see into us. So if you really want to be engaged in life, it helps to have a strong back. And I'm not talking physical strength, but inner resilience. It means you've developed the skills to maintain a calm mind. So you can bounce back from setbacks, you can adapt to change, and you can remain grounded even in difficult situations. With a strong back, you can gracefully let go when it's appropriate. Joan Halifax says a strong back is about stability and our capacity to uphold ourselves, especially during difficult times. It means we're cultivating an ability to maintain a calm mind with emotional and mental stability. It enables us to be grounded, rooted, and strong while remaining flexible, adaptable, and open to change. And Brené Brown talks a lot about strong back, soft front. She says a strong back does not expect it to always be easy or comfortable, but it knows that there are great strength in kindness and gentleness and the importance of trading the need to be right for being kind. So having a strong back is really important. And I think the number one thing you need to have to have a strong back is trust in yourself. You need to trust that you have the wisdom to know what's most skillful for you, and the strength to stand up for holding your needs on par with those of everyone else. So if you don't trust yourself, you're going to put up some defenses to keep yourself safe. But if you can learn to develop that trust in yourself, a lot of times we don't trust ourselves because something comes up that we don't like and we sweep it under the carpet. And I could never trust that I would take care of myself because I'd sweep anything negative under the carpet every time it popped up and never did anything about it. And I didn't do a lot of self-care things either because I was too busy doing things for other people. So I couldn't trust myself to be there for myself. And until I started meditating and slowing down and really learning this stuff, I didn't trust myself. I wasn't there for myself. Claire Charter says, a strong back is about trusting your own self-worth over needing to be liked, validated, or accepted by others. It's about being able to drop the need to please, to prove, and to pretend. Instead of letting other people silence you, it's about growing strong enough to step into your own truth with resilience, compassion, self-love, and self-respect. So instead of letting people tell us who we should be and what we should do, if we've got a strong back, we get that inner wisdom that we all have inside of us. But many of us have put up brick walls, or maybe you put on masks, or maybe you put on armor, whichever metaphor works for you, and it covers up that inner wisdom. And we have to be brave enough to take those bricks out of the wall so we can see what's underneath there and see who we really are. Because it's really hard to strengthen our back when we're so concerned about what other people are thinking about us. So Brené Brown says that perfect, pleasing, proving, and pretending get in the way of a strong back. She encourages us to use what she calls braving to strengthen out our courage muscle. And braving includes boundaries. If you have a strong back, you have clear boundaries. And they're fair boundaries. They're true boundaries. You're not letting go of the boundary because you want somebody to like you or because you're afraid you're going to disappoint them. But you know what it is that you need for yourself. You draw that line and you hold to it. And that line doesn't put your needs way above everyone else's. It puts them on par. Reliability, learning to say what we mean and mean what we say. Too often we don't say what we mean because I might hurt their feelings. One woman in prison has been complaining for the last 2 months about a roommate who doesn't shower. And once, last time she said, yeah, my roommate said, oh, I don't think I need a shower. And she didn't say anything. So she's got to put up with the stench of a roommate who doesn't shower because she's not saying what she means. It's not, reliability is also not overcommitting and overpromising. You know, sometimes we get so upset because someone says they're going to do something for us and maybe it's something we didn't even ask for and then they don't. People overcommit because they want people to like them. And you offer to do things that you know you really can't do. And then braving is accountability, to be accountable. It's not your fault what's happened to you in the past. Causes and conditions make you be a certain way. But it is your responsibility to change. To apologize when you're wrong, to let go of blame, and to stay out of shame. You know, too often we're in shame and that paralyzes us. And then we want a vault, which is learning how to keep confidences, share what's ours to share, and stop the gossip. The gossip is not a good way to create connection with other people, because it makes them trust you less. What are you going to say about them when they're gone? So while we think of that as here's my way to connect, I'm going to talk to you about so-and-so, that's really not a good way to connect. And then integrity, practice your values even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's hard. Choosing courage over comfort, that's a hard thing to do. And then there's non-judgment, learning how to give and receive help. That's a hard one for me because I spent my life as the helper and the fixer. I was the know-it-all and the do-it-all. And that was my sense of identity and my sense of self-worth. And if I'm not the know-it-all and the do-it-all and I'm not fixing everything, then who am I? And I find out I'm a person people like to be around better than when I was the fixer and the helper. And then there's generosity, learning to set boundaries that allow us to be generous, especially in our assumptions about other people. You know, when someone does something that irritates us, maybe they say something disrespectful, maybe they lash out at us, our initial assumption is, how dare they do that to me? I can't believe, you know, what did I do to them that caused them to do it? And if we're more generous in our assumption, we'll get curious and say, what's going on with them? Because it's not all about me. Maybe had nothing to do with me why they lashed out at me, but it's got to do with them. So boundaries, reliability, accountability, vault, integrity, non-judgment, and generosity. Those are the things that you need to work with to build a strong back. And until you've started working on that strong back, it might be a little bit dangerous to work on softening your front. Because you could very easily turn into a doormat if you soften your front without strengthening your back. Having a soft front requires mindfulness so that we can see what's actually happening. And curiosity so we see the big picture. What's going on with them? Not that it's all about me. And self-compassion, because without self-compassion, we can't be vulnerable. And if we don't have a strong back, we don't know who we can be vulnerable with and who we can't, because we haven't set those boundaries. And it's really important that we're only vulnerable with people we can trust that aren't going to take advantage of our vulnerability. And with a soft front, we're going to stop being so judgmental, because when we're judgmental, we're not tender with ourselves. And when we're judgmental with other people, we're not gentle with them either. We're not soft. We're tightened up when we're judgmental. And that gives us that strong front, that mask, that armor that we put on. If I'm judgmental because I know more than you do, it's making me feel good, but that's a hard front. We don't have to do that. Instead, we just need to accept reality that, okay, they think this and I think this. It doesn't mean I'm good or bad. It doesn't mean I'm smart or dumb. It's just we have different opinions. And then we don't have to tense up and become defensive. And we don't have that urge to correct people and say, this is the way it is. That we just, okay, we think differently. Joan Halifax says, the soft front is about opening up to things as they are. It's about accepting life as it is rather than longing or worrying about the future and wishing things were different. Cultivating this quality within ourselves enables us to remain open to life without shutting down or collapsing. When I didn't like what was going on in my first marriage, I shut down. That had a lot to do with getting divorced. Because I couldn't be with what was and couldn't address it. So instead, I just shut down. There's a lot of times where I've closed down, shut down my heart, closed people out just because they made me uncomfortable or I didn't like what they were doing. And sometimes I would put on a mask and try and be who I thought they wanted me to be. And other times, especially when I was really afraid, I just put up a brick wall so nobody could get through to hurt me. But with the wisdom that I've gained in life, and that wisdom was probably always inside of me, it was just covered up with all my crap, I've learned that I can see that that mask or that brick wall is really causing me suffering. And it's really preventing me from being who I want to be. And I didn't see that before. I thought the brick wall was a good thing and it was keeping me safe. But really, it was keeping me small, and maybe even smaller and smaller as you added more and more bricks to it. So if we want to soften our front, we have to go to the edge of our comfort zone and soften. Go to the edge of where we're comfortable. So if I like being right and someone says something that I don't believe is right, I have to go right to that edge and say, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to see if I can do this. And the first time, I won't be able to do it. And maybe the 20th time, I won't be able to do it. But eventually, I'll create a neural pathway that says, I don't have to be right. And that neural pathway is hopefully going to help the one that says, I do have to be right, to atrophy. Although they'll both be there for quite a while. So we have to practice over and over. We have to practice being vulnerable. It's okay for me to not know something. I don't know that I admit it very often, but I'm starting to, that I don't know something. And when it's safe, when I pay attention, I'm going to grow my neural pathway of being vulnerable. I'm going to open up my heart and tell people what I think, even though they might not agree with me and might not like it. And the first few times, it's really scary. But then you do it, and you build on it. You build on your successes, and you develop confidence in yourself. When we can be vulnerable, we can stay open to what is, instead of closing down and either attacking or defending. How many times do you attack or defend someone? Defend yourself because someone said something it really wasn't all that important to you. But you have to hold your ground. And so if we can have a stopped or front, we can let that go. Brené Brown says, if we embrace vulnerability, we'll soften the front, which then ultimately makes us stronger. For when we are willing to open ourselves up, expose our emotions, and experience vulnerability, we also have the power to be more courageous than we ever imagined. So let's sit for just a moment and let the concept of strong back and soft front sink into your being. Just think about what it means for you to have a strong back and a soft front. A strong back knows your worth, your values, your boundaries, your desires, and your needs. A soft front opens your heart for vulnerability, curiosity, compassion, kindness, and love. With a strong back and a soft front, you can trust you're supported by yourself, if not by others. You can live your truth and be exactly who it is you want to be.